My guest is hoping to shatter the stereotypes around obsessive-compulsive disorder. He was diagnosed with OCD at the age of 11 and has written a play based on his own experience called, very cleverly, I Wouldn't Mind Control. David Monahan, you're very welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
So, diagnosed at 11.
Diagnosed at 23.
Oh, wow.
First developed symptoms when I was 11.
Okay, so at 11, what were the symptoms?
So I suppose it started off as sort of the standard signifiers of OCD. I kind of was washing my hands excessively until like the skin of my knuckles cracked and bled, and I was leaving little droplets of blood everywhere. So sorry to all the listeners
for that visual. Yeah.
But then as I got a bit older, it sort of morphed into something a little bit more distressing and a little bit more, because that's when I started to develop the intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
That are sort of coupled with the ritualistic behaviors.
So, what ritualistic behaviors can you describe the other ones?
So, what I currently would sort of do to
combat. Just what you've experienced, and I feel very confident having this conversation with you because I'm diagnosed with OCD when I was 25, and I started washing my hands when I was 6. And same thing, I became obsessed. And then I've been through a big process of this, so I'm delighted to have this conversation with you because I've never spoken about it really. I could talk at length about my ritualistic behaviours. What were your really obvious ones?
So I suppose when it started, it would have been the excessive hand washing. And then over time, when I got a little bit older, I remember someone telling me if I experienced a bad thought, I would have to tap wood. So then I was constantly looking out. If I ever had an intrusive negative thought, I was looking for a piece of wood to tap my knuckles on. I was told that if I couldn't find wood, then I'd have to tap my forehead. And then I started tapping my forehead whenever a negative thought popped into my head. But then, because this is sort of how OCD works, I was concerned that I wasn't tapping it in the right place. So I ended up tapping it multiple places. And then that kind of became like almost like a little dance I would do.
Yep.
And then over time, other things were added on. So I would sometimes now I would recite like an incantation. That's almost kind of like a prayer. I would tap my head in a very kind of intricate way. And it's really stressful when you do that. When like an intrusive thought pops in, you feel compelled to do this and you're out and about in public.
What I understand and my experience of it is, I was lucky. I didn't get intrusive thoughts till much later in life, and I could go and read about it pretty quickly because it's terrifying. Because actually, your next thought, you've had the intrusive, whatever the bizarre thought is, and the next thought is, oh my God, why the hell did I just have that thought? Yeah. And then you spiral.
Yeah, that's the thing, and then it keeps because you believe in the worst version of yourself.
Wow.
You suddenly think, and I think that's what causes the stress, is that there's this disconnect between who you know you are and what your head is telling you, or this person your head is imagining you to be. And I suppose the ritualistic behaviors become a way of trying to bridge that gulf.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone experiences negative thoughts, intrusive thoughts, but I think people with OCD, the difference is they keep coming in again and again and again. It's sort of centered around illogic or irrationality. Like people with OCD are as logical, as rational as anyone else, but they're constantly being bombarded with these thoughts, and there's almost like this nebulous illogic kind of guiding them.
OCD appears after very stressful times or during very stressful times. So you're logical, but your emotional ability to just discount the thought, you can't do that because you're stressed. And so you attach to this thought and then you feel really stupid, don't you? You feel really out of control.
You do. You kind of feel bizarre, odd, especially if you feel compelled to do it in public, because then you have to go. Well, in my experience, I had to go off by myself and find a little corner or something and do my little ritualistic behavior away from like prying eyes or whatever. Because, objectively, it is a sort of strange to look at, but, to see someone do this. But what they don't understand is that there's all this like internal anxiety.
Yeah. I suppose I just to it can be quite harrowing. So just, it's not just your hands are dirty. My fear in my 20s was sharp objects, was knives. I couldn't look at knives. I couldn't have knives in the house because my internal thoughts would then attach themselves to some harm. And then why am I thinking that? Because I didn't feel like that. And I've learned to really cope through counselling and therapy and reading books about it presents itself when I'm really stressed or when I've had a bereavement or something out of control. So I now kind of have a good understanding, but then you're afraid to say that even because it'll present somewhere else, right?
Exactly. Well, I think you're right. And I think, you know, it comes in peaks and troughs and it can be more intense at certain points in your life than it would be at other times. And it's interesting. So sharp objects would have been a trigger for you.
Mm.
Again, there's like OCD is a very broad spectrum of behavior and everyone has different triggers. Sometimes they can be quite violent.
Yeah.
You know. And they're being bombarded with thoughts of violence, but they aren't violent people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. People with OCD are more likely to harm someone than anyone else, you know what I mean?
It's all pretty much internal.
Yeah.
So did anybody ever comment on your rituals or say anything to you?
So I would have kept it quite hidden, I suppose, especially initially, because I guess I believed in some of the maybe the pop cultural depictions of OCD and didn't kind of correlate with what was going on with
Monica from Friends kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like OCD can manifest as an obsession with like ultra cleanliness or like a hygiene or order. But often these depictions don't account for the awful intrusive thoughts that sort of underpin them. Sorry, just to circle back, what was the question?
So people ever comment? Did you ever have people...
No. So I would have been quite secretive about it because I suppose, you know, there was no, I had no frame of reference, really. So no realistic frame of reference for what was happening. So I just thought maybe I was odd or this is something I grow out of or maybe this is something everyone goes through, but I just didn't have the emotional strength to sort of deal with it. So I would kind of go off by myself and sort of... stew on it.
And was it dismissed as normal? You'll grow out of it.
Yeah. But like, I think that's just like there was maybe a general lack of understanding of what OCD actually is. Because I remember, you know, doing a cursory Google when I was like 11 of the symptoms and OCD would pop up.
At 11, wow.
Yeah. But you know, you kind of doubt yourself. I guess part of me knew I had OCD, but I was so full of self-doubt that I didn't.
So just before we go on to your diagnosis, what was your daily experience like? Was it torture?
Yeah, it was kind of like walking through a minefield because my triggers... See, you wouldn't know what would trigger you in a day-to-day. And it could be an off-the-cuff comment a friend made or something you saw on TV or something you read in the paper, whatever. And that would trigger this spiral in you. So it was kind of, and then like also not knowing exactly what was happening to me, not having a frame of reference. So it was like walking through a minefield every day.
You were so young though as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because mine went away until my 20s. Yeah, and then it came back. Listeners just text, I have OCD since I've been 12. Absolute hell. Constantly in my head. I often describe it as a constant war with my own head. Great description, isn't it?
That is, yeah, it's so true. It's like your mind is turning against itself. That's what it feels like, at least.
So diagnosis, how did diagnosis come about?
I was I was attending regular sessions with a psychiatrist on my college campus. And I luckily got diagnosed with OCD. I kind of described my thinking and my symptoms. And she was just like, that's OCD.
Amazing.
And that felt so validating.
Did it?
Yeah, it was like someone had retroactively gone back in time and had comforted that 11-year-old, you know.
Oh, wow. That's a lovely description. My first therapist years ago when I was in my 20s would only take whatever I could afford to pay her.
Yeah.
She was amazing. And when I first suffered with anxiety and realized she was trying to diagnose, she sent me into a big bookshop and said, go and look up anxiety. And there was a wall of books. And I just, for the first time, didn't feel alone. And I think you talking about this, we're getting lots of texts from people who suffer from intrusive thoughts. It really opens up the conversation because it's so full of shame, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's because the thoughts are stressful. And if they're like me, then they would have spent a lot of time in the fog, you know, not fully understanding what was happening. But it's important to remember is that you're not your thoughts. Thoughts are just thoughts. And you're not alone. Yeah, of course.
And you're not your beliefs. They're just exactly thoughts. So what was your treatment?
So I've had various forms of treatment over the years. I was put on a round of medication. I was already on SSRIs, but I was it was sort of my medication was altered, and that helped clear the fog a bit.
What are SSRIs?
I actually don't know what it stands for, but they're antidepressants, essentially. Serotonin something.
Okay.
Yeah. Apologies.
No worries, but we can Google SSRIs.
We can all Google.
Find out what they are, but they work. You found them helpful.
They certainly help clear the fog. I mean, they're not obviously a quick fix, because I think you have to do them in tandem with, you know, other sort of forms of self-help and therapy. And then I was attending sessions with another psychiatrist last year, and we did exposure therapy, which I found helpful, which is terrifying because,
oh yeah,
you know, you have to immerse yourself in these triggers that, you know, set you off. And I have quite a few, so we listed them, and I kind of started with the ones that would maybe cause a lesser degree of anxiety and sort of work upwards. And that helped a lot. That helps kind of remove some of the power that they hold.
Oh, it can it disarms them.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it.
Oh, so hard.
The SSRI is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
That was on tip of my tongue.
So I want to get to the show. So you're doing well. And all of a sudden you go, I wouldn't mind control, a play written about OCD.
Yes.
Congratulations, first
Thank
of
you.
All. So when did you decide to create art from your pain?
You know, I wouldn't have been able to do it had I not gone through the process of seeking the diagnosis and therapy and, you know, getting to a place of confidence in myself and knowing what OCD is. I definitely wouldn't have been able to do this 10 years ago, you know. So I had to go through what I went through to write it. And I guess it was maybe part of the exposure therapy in a way, because, you know, it's about OCD generally, broadly, but it's also about the kind of OCD I would have. And I was writing about some of the intrusive thoughts that I would have and some of my coping mechanisms, and I was putting that into a play.
Wow.
And, you know, putting it out there.
Sounds terrifying.
It was scary. Putting it out there to be performed and said aloud. And but it was emotionally rewarding, I think, because, you know, people performed it, and, you know, I had collaborators and audiences watched it, and they did so, I suppose, without judgment. And
so the main character is based on you?
Yes.
So just tell me a little bit about what happens in the play.
Okay, so it's kind
of... You're doing great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be validated.
Isn't it just?
Oh, yeah, I feel great.
Vortex, no, please. Yeah.
The play is sort of framed as a psychological sci-fi thriller.
Okay. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mishmash of a lot of different interests of mine. But it became sort of a vehicle to explore what happens internally. So it's about a journalist who goes inside their own mind, using VR therapy, and they're guided through, therapy by an AI kind of chatbot kind of thing. But they're forced to confront their OCD and their own head. All the while they're being guided by a sort of tech bro, CEO, entrepreneur, who might be a bit nefarious.
Wow. Okay. So there's a plot to it as
there
well.
There is. There's definitely a plot.
And when you were watching the play, did you find it weird or cathartic or helpful?
I maybe foolishly put myself into it.
Okay.
So I was kind of in the midst of it. How did it feel? It was scary, especially reciting
the lines.
The lines.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Because it's like you spend so long in sort of a shame spiral about them and sort of wondering how people would perceive you, mm-hmm. or would you experience social death if you were to vocalize what was going on in your head, and then to stand up there in front of an audience of strangers and to say it aloud, and also maintain a performance.
Yeah.
It was really difficult. I knew it would be difficult, but it's different. Sorry.
You did it.
I did it, yeah, somehow.
You did it. Just another text here. I, too, have intrusive thoughts. For me, it was washing my hands, excessively, extremely hot showers. I figured out it wasn't actually down to wanting to be clean in a germ sense, but because I felt, as a person, I was dirty, unclean, and bad on the inside. We can relate to this as well. But I think what you've done David, is you've given this, you've opened up a conversation, which is really important, because even as long as when I was your age, there was no conversation around this. So congratulations, David Monaghan. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.